Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Due to end the night here, a good friend from Fox, former Newcastle United defender, he's Warren Barton. Warren, how are you?
I'm very well, my friend. Like everybody else, we've had a holiday period now and looking forward to what may be coming ahead. But yeah, we're hanging on in there, as we say, hanging on in there. But all good, my friend. All good.
Yeah, I always like talking to you about player development. And, you know, obviously you've worked with a lot of young, talented players. What's going on as far as San Diego and your area of the country when it comes to training and coaching and being able to get on fields? What's happening there?
Well, we're still lucky enough in California that we are able to get onto the fields down in San Diego. Parts of LA and Orange County not being able to do that. But in San Diego, we've tried to abide by the rules, sticking by it. If we need games, we have to travel. But Glenn, the biggest thing I think for the kids is just to be outside playing and have some activity, just mentally stimulating them physically as well. So we're able to coach 3-4 times a week with the kids, getting them out there. Obviously, they want to play games. But the good thing is we're out on the fields and we're trying to keep them motivated, keep them focused. It's not ideal situation, we know that, but there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And unlike some states where they play games, and I think where you are, you're able to play games, we're not in that level at the moment. But it is what it is, and we just have to keep plugging away and keep persevering. And as I said, hopefully the light's at the end of the tunnel sooner rather than later. But the kids have been great. They keep me motivated as well, my friend, because there's nothing else going on. So you've got to keep that going. So it's a two-way thing. It's not just the coaches that motivate the kids and the players. It can be the other way around as well. And we're doing well. Myself and Shannon McMillan are keeping the club going, and we're just waiting now for some games. But with this pandemic, the way it was roaring, particularly over the holiday period, we felt it was safe just to shut down for a couple of weeks. But now we're back on the field. The sun's out and the kids are laughing and enjoying themselves, which is the main thing.
Fantastic. Leadership of coaches like yourself, very important for young people at this time period here. We're talking to Warren Barton, former Newcastle defender. All right, I want to talk about some of this FA Cup magic we saw this weekend. I flipped on Marine FC, taking on Spurs. I think Marine FC technically is the eighth tier of English football, semi-pros, guys that are sanitation workers and coming and playing against Spurs and all kinds of differing jobs. Really amazing story, but the backdrop of the homes and people in their gardens watching this game was remarkable. And I just wanted to get your thought on it, because there was something really romantic about this and refreshing to me in this time period that just glued me to watching this game. Even though the scoreline was a beast for Spurs, I think they end up winning 5-0. It just was a very uplifting thing to watch these guys competing against, you know, a club like Spurs.
For me, Glenn, it was very real, you know, to see the lady having a glass of wine and the other girls that was having a glass of champagne. And then actually see there was a guy standing on a tree in his backyard overlooking a game, watching Gareth Bale play, which is quite surreal when you think of it. But when you look at the FA Cup and what it able to do for non-league clubs, lower league clubs, and even though Jamie Carragher, the Liverpool legend, is part ownership and has a foundation with them, it was just fascinating to watch, you know, these Premier League stars. And Mourinho, you know, who's been at the highest level and won Champions Leagues and been at some of the biggest clubs in the world. He's got a guy over his shoulder who's having a cigarette and a cup of tea while he's watching the game. It was brilliant. It was exactly what the FA Cup is all about. It's had a little bit of criticism in the past about no romance and, you know, no one's going to be there watching it. It was fascinating, and it's everything that the FA Cup means to me. I was lucky, Glenn, as a player to play in a couple of cup finals and being in that lower league level as well where I started. I've played against the big boys where they come into a stadium where the changing rooms are freezing cold, the tea's cold, the sugar is not sugar, it's salt, and all these type of things that you try and level up, to get the groundsman to go out there and kick up a few divots. So when these superstars come down, it's not like a perfect bowling green for them. But I just thought it was fascinating and great. Typical Mourinho. They was professional. They was classy. Did their job, got out of there. And, you know, there was a touching story that because no one could be in that stadium, yes, they got the TV revenue from the BBC, which is probably $200,000 to keep them going for a few years. But how people have interacted in this last year with this pandemic, they did a virtual game. And that stadium, I think, only holds about 3,000 to 4,000. It looked like it, maybe even less. They sold nearly 35,000 tickets online. And people was paying £10 a ticket to watch it online. And that's how they was going to earn the revenue. And that's what's so fascinating about what we're going through at the moment and how they improvised in a difficult situation. Because normally that place would have been packed, the TV there. As I said, it would only have been 3,000 to 4,000 people, but it meant so much for everybody. But they thought about it and the country got behind them and started watching the game. Rather than on BBC, they were streaming it live and people was paying that £10 or $15 to watch the game. And a brilliant story. And one that I think it gives you a little bit of warmth in your heart, a little bit of the cool cockles in your muscles and things like that. It gets you going back to, you know, that's what the game's about. You know, it's about that these fellas that are bricklayers and builders and plumbers to play against these superstars. So it's it made us smile anyway. It made me have a chuckle because I've been on both sides of that.
And I think a lot of people felt the same way because it's just a part of the game we don't see much anymore because players in the modern game have become so elite now. Let's face it, that's not a word that can't be used with them. Are you worried that this overlap doesn't occur a little bit more because there's so many healthy things that come out of this?
No, it is the FA Cup. Every year we go through this. You know, let me go back to when I was at Newcastle, as you mentioned. We come against a non-league team, although they was higher up, probably in the sixth tier of the amateur soccer tier in the professional game back in England, called Stevenage Borough. And we was a Newcastle managed by Kenny Dalglish, who had won the competition with Liverpool, a legend in his own right. And we got drawn against them. So I'm going back to like the mid to late 90s. And that was a fairy tale story there. We've had stories before where Wimbledon had beat Liverpool in a final, you know, 4 years ago, they was in the lower league. So it does happen. And every year something comes around and gives you that special feeling. And that was no different. You know, we got drawn against Stevenage Borough. Their stadium, again, probably hold a bit more, 5,000, 6,000. We made, being Newcastle, the wrong idea to say, well, look, why don't you bring it up to St. James's Park? You're going to get 52,000 people. You can have the revenue. They spun it round. Oh, you're scared. You don't want to play as you don't want to come down to little Stevenage Borough. And it was quite a story, you know, and it got a little bit feisty with the two managers. There was in the media, in all the papers, they're scared. We don't want to play them. And we ended up beating them and got to the final anyway. But it was another way of getting that romance and going down there. And it was, the field was awful. I knew I played lower league. I knew exactly what was coming because I would have done it myself. And it was just another story of what the FA Cup can bring up. And as I said, that's over 20 years ago. So, and now we're talking about the same type of things. And it was so fascinating. As I said, it was great to watch, you know, people in their bedrooms having a cup of tea, watching the game. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was amazing watching that, and it obviously really connected, I think, with a lot of people. All right, Sheffield United is the next opponent for Newcastle tomorrow, and I just wanted to get an update from you. Let's start with DeAndre Yedlin and his time at Newcastle and how you have seen his game evolve and how much you think it's evolved since he's come over from Major League Soccer to play for such a legendary club.
Yeah, I think his game has evolved immense. You know, now he's, I wouldn't say the finished article because there's still a long way to go with his development. His final product can be better. His defending can be a little bit better as well. But what I've noticed with him is when he first come to Newcastle with Rafa Benitez, it went so well. You know, I was talking about how he's going to go on from this and, you know, be a stonewall for Newcastle. But like anything, the expectations were got a little bit too much for him. And he lost his way about 6 months ago, 7 months ago. And whether he didn't know whether to play with Steve Bruce, they was playing, you know, five at the back or they was playing four at the back. I think he just lost his way a little bit and maybe lost a little bit of confidence. Steve's brought him back into the team, Steve Bruce, and he's gone with a little bit of hunger. And that's what I see when he was at Seattle, Glenn, when I first noticed him, I thought he's hungry, he's got tenacious, he's quick. He's aggressive in what he does and everything that he did. Whether he took a quick throw in, it was aggressive. Whether he got on the ball, he was aggressive. And as I said, probably about 8-9 months ago, just lost his way slightly and was a little bit more thoughtful about what he was doing. And that's not him. I love what I see when he's aggressive with what he's doing and he goes forward and he makes things happen. And he showed a bit of character because it's not easy at the moment, you know, with the situation for players. He wasn't in the team, couldn't really play, go on loan anywhere. But he's come back and he's starting to show that hunger and determination, which we all see in Major League Soccer when he was first here and when he first went over to the UK for Sunderland, where he did well in the Championship and obviously ultimately getting a move to Newcastle. But I just think he lost his way slightly positional because Steve had changed him from a three at the back, five at the back, whatever you want to call it, or just a flat back four. And he was just found a lack of confidence. But there's no doubt about his ability. You know, he needs to work, as I said, on one or two aspects of his game, but he's still a relatively young man. But I think he's given Greg a little reminder, Greg Berhalter, to say, look, you know, don't forget me. We know we've got a good group of young players that are coming through at the moment, but I'm worth a look, and I'm playing ultimately in the best league in the world and one of the top teams. So, you know, that's have a look at me, and it gives him another option, him being Greg Berhalter, another option.
How do you critique, Warren, the job Steve Bruce is doing at Newcastle based on, you know, all the other things that are around the club, expenditures, spending on players, et cetera?
And this is a real, you know, from an outside person looking in, you think Steve Bruce is doing a decent job. You know, he's kept the club reasonably safe in the Premier League. They've got, you know, some decent performances. But it's a style of football that's frustrating everybody at St James's Park, if anybody could get into the stadium. So, and him being a Geordie, which again confuses me a little bit, is that he's not shown the passion. And Steve was a tremendous player and a leader for Manchester United and a top professional and a winner. And I think he's just gone into Newcastle. And he said it the other week, which is demoralising for me as an ex-player. It's just about surviving. For me, Newcastle shouldn't be just about surviving. It should be about competing and challenging. Now, whether people say that's unrealistic, but I look at that roster, that squad of players that he's got, and you look at Wolves, you look at Everton, you look at Leicester, why can't Newcastle be in that bracket? I'm not saying we're Liverpool. I'm not saying we're Manchester City. And even throw Man United and Chelsea into that equation. But that squad of players that he's got, Glenn, and you touched on it as a coach, I want my teams to be aggressive. I want them to play football. I want them to try and win every game. Steve goes into it, in my opinion, looking at it from the outside, not to lose a game. He's adamant to go into games. And that's a slightly different mindset. When you see the players so far deep, defending in their own half, and then you expect them to go 55 yards forward and score a goal, it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen like that. You know, even the best teams when, if you like, Gareth Bale and Benzema and Ronaldo, they played semi-counter-attacking, but they stayed up. They stayed on the halfway line or even in the opposing's half. They didn't come all the way back. We're getting 11 men behind the ball and expecting them to go 60, 70 yards to score a goal. So if you ask Mike Ashley, Steve's doing his job, ticking away. If you ask 52,000 fans and probably about another 25 ex-professionals, you could say, I want more. I need more. You know, you hear Alan Shearer saying, is it too much to ask to be ambitious for a club like Newcastle? Yeah. And the answer is no. You know, that goes without saying. So, you know, from my point of view, he's done okay. I've seen a couple of games and was over there live last year when we was able to. And his body language wasn't good as well. He's not hungry for the game. You know, I'm saying about Yedlin being hungry and aggressive. You know, even when he wins a game, it's quite doom and gloom, you know, and he should be enjoying it. He's a Geordie. He knows what it means to win a game for Newcastle. And, you know, it's another year that's just plodding along. And until you get someone in there that's really going to get the club by the scruff of the neck and be ambitious and go forward, that doesn't mean as well spending money. I just think you can put your teams out a little bit better and make them be a bit more adventurous when they get the ball.
No, you provided the perfect example with clubs like Wolves and others that you know, don't have the bankroll that a lot of other teams have. Is it possible he's losing the edge a little bit?
That's a great point, Glenn. I mean, some coaches may be getting that comfort zone. You see, there was a turnaround of Tony Pulis got another job at Sheffield Wednesday. He didn't last, 55 days, he left. There was Pardew, Sam Allardyce has come back in. Would that excite me as a player to get Sam Allardyce? I know the owners are saying, well, if he keeps me in the league, it's worth it. But I want to play for someone that's going to want to perform and have that hunger. You know, we're all the same sort of age. Me and Steve, he's a couple of years older, but it's different personalities. But yeah, maybe it's like you need that edge, or maybe it's the staff. You know, you see a lot of these coaches, they keep taking the same person around with them. I know you have to trust them, but it gets monotonous. You know, my experience as well with Sir Bobby Robson, he never really took anyone with him. He was such, he loved being around different people. He knew, he was so confident in his own ability and what he wanted. He knew he could translate to whatever coach, assistant coach was next to him, whether it was Mourinho at Barcelona or John Carver at Newcastle and Steve Clarke. He knew he could get his point across and do well. And both of them have won, you know, trophies as well in the past. So, you know, maybe that comes into it. And maybe sometimes pressure does strange things to people, but it does seem to be that merry-go-round. I mean, I look at, you know, I would be walking on air going through there managing Newcastle. And I look at Martial. Here's another example, the Liverpool, Manchester United centre-forward. He plays the game like he's angry and fed up. I mean, you're number nine at Man United. You should be laughing and joking and thriving to be out there, you know. And I just think it's, you know, maybe how people handle pressure a little bit different. But I know Andy Cole and Dwight York, when they was at Man United, they think stops laughing and giggling because they was winning and playing for arguably one of the biggest clubs in the world. So a Martial, a Steve Bruce, you should be coming into work every single day with a smile on your face as big as a Cheshire cat, because it's you've got one of the best jobs in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah. Warren Barton, former Newcastle defender, weighing in here on a number of different topics around the club. How about a quick hit here before we let you go on Miguel Almiron and how he's done at Newcastle? And, you know, I see the way he plays the game, and I'm not sure it could be very fun for him to be playing in this kind of system either.
No, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of players that you look at them, and, you know, even the likes of Jonjo Shelvey that comes deep to get the ball. But Miggy Almiron, he's a player that wants to excite you. He wants to get on the ball. He wants to express himself. And his agent come out a few months ago and said, look, you know, if it doesn't change, we might have to look elsewhere and go football. But he's playing for a fantastic football club. The problem is, at the moment, he's in a system that the coach wants him to defend first rather than attack first. But his attitude has never been dealt with the players up there. Miggy, he's gone in there. He plays well. He's always got a smile on his face and enjoys it. I just think there's so much more for him to give. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, a Ronaldo or a Gareth Bale in the future, but he's definitely going to be an exciting player. And he's got a personality. He reminds me very much of what Norberto Solano, that I play with, another South American, the Peruvian, got on the ball. He's got a little bit of class, that little bit of delicate touch on the ball. He can make things happen if allowed. At the moment, he's not being allowed, but he's shown great character. He's dug in. I've always loved, and I spoke to a lot of people at Atlanta, his attitude. He always wants to play. He always wants to train. And that's a good trait. And hopefully Newcastle can look after him and get him going, because I think he's a real talent, and I think he can add to any team in the Premier League. And when he gets the ball, he excites me. Yes, he loses it. Yes, he gets tackled. But next thing, he gets it and runs at someone else again and tries to make things happen. So he's doing okay, Glenn, but he just needs to be given the license to express himself. But there's probably another 11 players like that is in the same situation at Newcastle.
Warren, as always, we thank you so much for coming on the show. Tremendous insight. I mean, I could do another 5 segments with you. I mean, I just love talking the game with you, and your insight is exceptional. So thank you, as always, for coming on the program. We'll talk to you real soon.
Absolute pleasure, my friend. Take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.